Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STAND, and here is your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you so much, Pastor Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. I know you all are looking forward to talking to Senator Tuberville, and he will be with us momentarily. But as always, let's begin with a word of prayer. Father, we are so grateful to be Americans, so grateful for this wonderful country of ours, and for the opportunity it provides, the prosperity it affords. Lord, this is a unique experiment in freedom such as the world has ever known. The only nation birthed on the principle that our rights and freedoms come from Almighty God, not from human institutions. And yet, Lord, in spite of that illustrious beginning, there are people now who seem to be hell-bent on destroying that legacy of liberty, of hope, of opportunity. They're somehow convinced that some kind of collectivist, more totalitarian system in which liberty is curtailed in behalf of some utopian dream that they have, in which racial division is stoked and the constant conjuring up of reasons to hate one another is far better than to be united as one nation under God. We need to have two national anthems. The flag triggers people. Our children shouldn't be taught about the brilliance and the strength and the courage of our founding fathers, but rather taught that they were slave owners and white supremacists. And Lord, it's really an attempt to demoralize the nation, to destroy it really from within. And Lord, we are standing firm against those forces. We know we're not a perfect nation, but we believe that we've been the greatest nation that the world has ever known in terms of providing hope, in terms of recognizing the dignity of every human being. No other nation has come anywhere close. Now, we've got a long way to go, of course, but Lord, we are far ahead of the rest of the world, and we have much to celebrate and really nothing to denigrate in terms of who we are as a nation. And so, Lord, we pray that you will help us to come out of this time of crisis and confusion that seems to have gripped us and to emerge again into the bright light of being a constitutional republic based on Judeo-Christian values and principles in which we know that the difference between a man and a woman. And we know that a child in his mother's womb is a life that is worthy of protecting and preserving, in which we know that there is such a thing as truth, and that there is such a thing as right versus wrong and good versus evil, and we're not living in some morally relativistic universe in which any and everything goes, because everything is really based on your feelings. So Lord, help us, and help our guest speaker, Senator Tuberville, likewise, Lord, as he seeks to provide leadership on a legislative level in the United States Senate. Lead him, guide him, direct him, bless him, and all the other senators there, Lord, so that they will lead us rightly, because you said righteousness exalts a nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And Lord, we are committed to America being a righteous nation. We are committed to America being a nation whose God is the Lord, not to impose any religion on anybody, but to recognize that we are a Christian nation culturally, and that that has been the key to our great success. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you for the United States of America, for these leaders who are on the call, for Senator Tuberville, who will be joining us momentarily. And we thank you for ultimate victory, because we believe that right will win out over wrong, that good will win out over evil, and that righteousness will win out over sin. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, folks, thank you all for joining us. Senator Tuberville got, I think, held up by a vote. He is going to be joining us. He's got a hard stop at 12:30, so I don't know how many questions we'll be able to take, but we'll at least be able to hear from him firsthand here momentarily. In the meantime, Let me just say to all of you, thank you all for your prayers. Thank you for your support. Thank you for joining these calls. And we're going to continue to bring you guests like this that you can talk to and have an opportunity to hear from in a direct way. I will be in 2 weeks. I'll be down at Indian Trail. March like a champion. Vote down there at Indian Trail, First Baptist Church in Indian Trail, North Carolina. I will be down there. And if you want to check out our speaking schedule, go to standamerica.us. You can find out more about my upcoming appearances. Don't forget that I have a podcast. It's on 8:30 a.m. Eastern Time every morning, Monday through Friday. Monday we play a best of, but Tuesday through Friday I'm on live. And if you want to hear my commentary on a variety of issues of the day, that's where you can do that. All right. Is the senator with us?
Bishop, are you on?
Yes, sir. Is this Senator Tuberville?
You got him.
All right. Senator, thank you so much for taking time out to join us. We've been looking forward to hearing from you. Listen, everybody already knows you, Coach. Senator and Coach, I said I was down at Auburn years ago speaking down there, and I said almost before I got off the plane, they asked me, are you an Auburn fan? And, of course, in order to speak, the answer was yes. So, look, we are glad to have you. The floor is yours, sir.
Well, thank you, Bishop. Thanks for everybody being on. That was a great prayer. I listened to it, and you're right on. We need to ask God for help because our country needs help. We're in a tough situation right now. I'm right here in the middle of it. I get to see it every day, and you're exactly right. We live in a constitutional republic that's trying to do things without our Judeo-Christian values, and that's how this country was built. And we got to get back to that. If we don't, we won't make it. But it is a tough time with a lot of our leadership. We don't have a lot of strong leadership. I think we got leadership by committee sometimes up here, and when you have that, leadership by committee instead of one person just standing up for our country, then you're going to have a lot of different opinions and you're not going to have a lot of success. So we're working up here on a lot of different things like the budget. We've got crime all over the country. We have a deficit of almost $35 trillion that it's going to be hard to sustain. We're putting our kids' future in harm's way. We're having a tough time overseas, but the biggest thing right now, I will tell you, is what's going on at our southern border. When you've got a country without borders, you don't have a country, and you can just imagine last week if you woke up and you're the parent of Lakin Riley, the student at the University of Georgia, you're the parents, and you get a phone call that you're thinking she's having the time of her life. She's getting a great education. She's getting ready to go out in a world of business and opportunity, being a nurse. And the parents get a phone call that she's been murdered. And unfortunately, that happened. But also unfortunate, that's not the first that we've had in the last few years with illegals coming to this country. Now, we're a country that loves everybody. We want to take care of as many people as we possibly can. But there's a situation that you have to go through in the democracy that we have, that you have to have borders. And you have to know who's here, that they're going to come here and go by our values, go by our laws, go by our Constitution. And if you don't do that, you don't deserve to be here. Well, we're being overrun as we speak. And we have an administration right now that could care less. They're for power. They're for greed. They're for getting more votes, more seats in Congress through redistricting with people that are here that are counted in their district. It's just absolutely amazing to me. Coming from private life and having a job like most people up here have never had, their lawyers that really have, they've never been out in public life and understand paying taxes and paying a way for a family to go through a life that is structured around success instead of structured around being supposedly a lawmaker. So we're having a tough time, but we've got to pull up our britches, so to speak. We got to fight back harder for our country, the greatest country ever. We've got to fight for our young people. We have to understand that social media has its pluses, but also has a lot of minuses that go along with the technology that's come before us in the last 20, 30 years. And we've got to have that regulation that helps our young people understand that they can survive sometimes without all that technology. But I just want to say this, you know, when you have to spend a lot of time up here fighting the Democrats and fighting people on the other side of the aisle and even fighting some of the people in your party to keep biological men out of women's sports, when that is being consumed up here day and night, and when the other side is winning, you know you've got huge problems. And we do have problems. And I've got a huge problem with that because I've been in education and athletics all my life. And I think that it's something that we owe to young girls and owe to women the opportunities that men have. But we're changing here. We're absolutely changing. Again, it goes back to one thing. God is not in this building. We've got to get God back in this building. We've got to get God back in our country. We've got to get the God back in the nuclear family. We have to get moral values back into our country. And you can't do that when you have a million people every couple of months come into this country that know nothing about God, that know nothing about our laws and Constitution. And things are going south on us, and they're going south very quick. And so we got a bumpy road in the next 7-8 months in terms of an election. This election is going to be very, very interesting in terms of the process. We saw the last couple of elections that decided that the majority should stay with the people that really don't care about the taxpayers and the people of this country. They care more about their party. And we've got to turn this party and we've got to turn this country and we've got to turn this city back to the taxpayers and the people that love God. Because if we don't do that, we're not going to make it. So it's a process every day that we go through. We don't have a lot of sense of urgency here. Seems like the only thing we want to do here is spend money. And we're pretty good at that. But we've got to also cut back on that and make sure people understand that this is not a socialist, communist country. This is a country of freedom to earn your own way, but also be able to use the First and Second and Third and Fourth and Fifth Amendment to the best of your abilities to be able to partake in the best country on the face of the earth. So I know people want to ask some questions, and I'd love to answer them, but right now there's not a lot of positive things going on up here other than the fact that we're going to continue to fight, and we're going to fight hard for the American citizens and our country and try to turn this country back over to our kids and give them the opportunity to have to live in a country that we've had the opportunity to live in.
All right. Well, Senator, thank you so much. Folks, press *6 to get in queue to ask any questions of Senator Tuberville. Hey, Senator, let me lead off this way. I know there are a lot of specific issues we could get to, but I want to ask you about the sense of patriotism, because there was a time in our country when Democrats and Republicans both had a shared love for our country, a shared sense that America was the greatest nation on earth and we wanted it to continue to be free and prosperous. I just get the feeling from the culture of the Democrat Party that patriotism is really not in vogue, that it's not about America anymore. It's about some sort of globalist vision, or I'm not sure what it's about, but it just doesn't seem to be about America. But maybe you can tell us in the U.S. Senate it is different. But how are you reading it from people on the other side of the aisle?
No, you're hitting it just right. The patriotism is not here like you would think. And the globalists have got control of our country. They've already ruined Europe. Europe has had to take in all these immigrants all from all over the world, and they've been indoctrinated into another life, another way of life. And, you know, what goes on up here, they try to put on the face of patriotism, some of the people here, but I don't look at things up here the same as I did when I first got here. I thought this was going to be a Republican-Democrat American Senate. This is more of a not Republican or Democrat. It's more of a American, anti-American sentiment that goes along here. There's a lot of people that want to change the direction this country's going. That started happening in 2014 when Barack Obama was president, and it has changed every day since. And the group that have been indoctrinated in that transition process have still got control of what we're doing. Again, this is not about the people of our country. This is about a party. This is about a group of globalists that want to transfer us over to what every other country is in the world. And I got news for them. Those countries were never like the United States of America. They weren't as strong. They weren't as prosperous. They didn't give the freedoms to their people. So again, I look at it as a group of you're an American up here that loves patriotism, that loves our flag, that loves our national anthem, that loves the freedoms in the Constitution we have, or you're an anti-American that loves living here, but they want to change it to their thinking, and we can't afford that to happen.
I'll tell you, that's disappointing, because how in the world can you chart the course of the future when you can't even agree on loving your country and wanting the very best for it? That's wow. You're right. We need divine intervention. So we've got some calls for you. We've got to let him go, folks, at 12:30 on the nose. We can't go over. So please keep your question brief so that he can get to it. Let's take the first one. Go right ahead.
Yes, Senator and others, without meaning to insult anybody, I was wondering if a legalism can be introduced whereby we protect our women in a sporting league of their own by noting it as the cycle syndrome league. They have an easy test for if you have cycle syndrome, you do a test. You're lacking the Y chromosome, you have that weak, you know, that lesser ability, and even to the point of saying men and women with cycle syndrome, they have a sporting league that they're protected in. Of course, you're not allowed to do any manipulating of hormones.
Okay. All right. We got it. Thank you for the question. We got it. So he's talking about, Senator, I guess, some kind of test. Because, I mean, either you have the Y chromosome or you don't. But go ahead. Senator, are you there? Did we lose him? Oh, there you go. Yes, sir. You're there you go.
Yeah. Somebody's pushing buttons here. But, no, exactly right. I've got a bill that says Protect Girls and Women in Sports Act. I've also got another bill that we just put on the floor that says Protect Girls and Women in Amateur and Olympics, because Olympics now are allowing boxing, men to box against women.
Yeah.
In the Olympics this coming year. It's going to be a disaster. But I understand what you're saying. There should be an opportunity for all people. And if you think you're a transgender, or want to transgender, I mean, after 18, this country gives you the freedom to do whatever you want to do. If there needs to be a transgender league, hey, I'm fine with that. I just do not want oversized, over-strength men and boys playing against women. It's wrong, and what's going to happen is these young girls coming up, parents are not going to allow these young girls to participate against boys. They're not going to allow them to dress in the same dressing rooms. Again, it goes back to good versus evil or right versus wrong. And these people up here some of them don't seem to know the difference between good versus evil or right versus wrong. So, hey, I'm all for having different leagues and different groups playing against each other, but don't mess with the women and don't mess with the boys in terms of growing up and having the opportunity to compete against each other. And earning that right to for better work ethic, playing as a team, winning as a team, losing a team, getting all those things that sports gives you.
And Senator, just quickly, we've seen some injuries, some very serious injuries that have happened when women are put into these high contact sports with men who are much bigger, much more muscular, much more upper body strength. And, you know, I'm wondering if this continues, at some point, some poor girls liable to get killed. I mean, are they thinking about that at all?
No, they're not thinking about it. It's just, like I said, it's unfair. It's really unsafe for every aspect of men playing against women. You probably could do it against tennis or badminton where there's no contact. But when you have any kind of contact, whether it's football, whether it's basketball, whether it's boxing, anything to do with that, there's a chance for the physicality of a man to, even if it's not on purpose,
right,
to have some kind of injury to a young girl or a woman. It's just a shame that we're even having to talk about this, but it's just something, again, they're trying to transition our country into something that it's not.
Yeah.
We are about nuclear family. And we're about fairness in this country. We're about that Constitution. And if you can't figure out the difference between good and evil and right and wrong, I mean, I feel bad for you.
Let's take another question.
Hi,
Senator. Go right ahead.
My question is this. I was so happy to see your stance and your stand for babies at the VA hospitals, not allowing the VA to have abortion at the different hospitals. And I even sent a message to say that I stood with you. But what happened that you had finally let it go, and now they are allowing abortions at the VA hospitals? And is there something that we could do to derail that?
Well, thank you very much. Am I back on? I think I am.
Yes, you're on. You're on.
Okay. That's a good point. You know, we fought this hard. And what happened, here's what happened with this whole thing. After Roe Wade went and the judges, the Supreme Court kicked abortion back to the states to make their own decisions, which rightly so, it should have happened. Then the federal government and the Biden administration said, we can't control the states, but we control federal employees. And so they looked for every possible way that they could pay for and give abortions to federal employees. First was the VA, and the VA had never done, Joe Biden even voted against abortions in the VA, which is for our veterans only. And Joe Biden decided last year, after Roe Wade went down, that he was going to allow veterans to have abortions. We fought it. I got a bill on the floor, voted on it. I lost the vote. The next thing was the military. The military put a new abortion policy in. Part of it was funding the travel for abortion. And I called the White House, and the Pentagon said, that's not going to happen. You're breaking the law. They said it wasn't against the law, that their corrupt Department of Justice said that they could do it. Well, we fought it, and we put a hold on all the promotions. We went for about 11 months, and then I even started getting attacked by some of my so-called Republican colleagues who said they were pro-life, and obviously they weren't, because they pretty much forced me into turning the promotions over, because they were going to start a new they were going to circle me in terms of what we're doing on the vote, go around my vote and do it another way. And I didn't want them to do that. So we're going to continue to fight that. We're not done with it, but I did have to give up after 11 months. That was a long, hard fight, but we're going to do what's right. We're going to continue to fight for life. And I think that's very, very important.
And just so you know, Senator, I and probably everybody on this call was cheering you on. I just thought what you were doing was great. I mean, because that's leadership. It's taking a principled stand rather than, well, everything has to give way to politics, and everybody's got to kind of go along. And you just stood up and said, no, we're not going to go along with this. And God bless you for it. We need more like you there. Look, let me switch topics a little bit, because there's been some news about China, and that not only are they funneling the fentanyl in, but now we're seeing more Chinese nationals coming across our border. They're now apparently funneling in these Glock switches that allow criminals to convert Glocks into automatic weapons, and that they are intentionally doing this under some kind of plan to undermine America from within. Talk a little bit about that, about the Biden administration, they're apparently being compromised. We've only got 4 minutes left, but maybe you could end with that.
Well, thank you. That's a good point. And just to give you an update on that, just in the last 6 months, 25,000 new Chinese immigrants, illegal immigrants, have come into our country. And what's happening is they're flying them into Mexico, mostly Taiwan or Mexico City, and they're making their way to the border and coming across. You know, you don't have a country if you don't have a border. We have to know who's here and why they're here, because these people coming across have not earned their way here. They don't understand our country, and they don't understand or want to go by the Constitution or our laws. Now, we're going to have a huge confrontation someday. We don't know whether it's next week or 10 years or 50 years from now with China. They're our number one adversary. As we speak right now, we don't have a military that can compete with China. They're so far ahead of us in satellites and submarines and ships, personnel. But if something were to start, you know there's going to be some huge problems in our country. When you allow other people to come into your country to set up groups and form a coalition together, knowing that when things go, start up in terms of the country that they love, that we're going to have huge problems with them. And China's not letting Americans into their country, I promise you. You couldn't get into China right now. You couldn't get into Russia. You couldn't get into Iran. We have a lot of adversaries. We have a lot of people that dislike the way that we do things. But first of all, we've got to take care of our country. And we're so much weaker now than we were 3 years ago in terms of military, deficit, budgets, crime in our country. And again, the infiltration of foreigners coming here, that some are coming for the right reasons of maybe a better life, but a lot of them are coming for the wrong reasons. And, it scares the dickens out of me knowing that people are coming across every day, 5,000, 6,000 to 10,000 people a day, and this administration could care less. It just goes to show you they're trying to transform this country into something else, because if they really cared about this country, we would have a strong border, not just in the southern border. We've got a 500% increase in illegal immigration coming from the northern border. They're flying into Canada and coming across the border there. So we're being attacked from both sides, from top to bottom in our country, and it's just an unfortunate situation.
Well, Senator, you didn't spend your life in politics. You spent it in coaching, and you had to be a leader of young men. And I think this is what politicians often lack. They're bellwethers rather than being leaders, and you're a leader in the Senate. We want to commend you and thank you for your leadership. And if there's anything we can ever do to help, please don't hesitate to call on us. Thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless you. God bless everything. God bless America.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Senator. God bless you. Well, folks, he really is a common sense leader in the U.S. Senate. He said Republicans got upset with him about putting the hold on promotions. Of course they did. Some did, because, you know, it's politics. And, you know, look, folks, I am first and foremost a man of God, a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but I've been involved in politics long enough to know that it can be nasty and ugly and selfish and self-serving and all of those things. And believe me, I've experienced it firsthand. Forgive me for taking a trip down memory lane, but some of you may or may not remember, some of you may remember, I should say, that when I won the nomination for lieutenant governor, there was a move within the Republican establishment to get me off the ballot. I was just too conservative. They wanted me off the ballot. And they said, is there any way to get him off the ballot? As if, to, you know, I was going to be the problem. Now, the problem was, frankly, and is, that the demographics of Virginia is changing. The demographics are changing. And we have not done enough to catch up and keep up with mobilizing our vote and getting that vote out to the polls. And the Democrats in the urban areas of our Commonwealth do that exceedingly well, either legitimately or by cheating and fraud, but they're getting that vote out one way or the other, and we simply have been overrun. And, if, you know, look, I hate to say it, folks, I don't know what's going to happen in our next state election coming up in 2025. I really don't. I hope that the election of our present constitutional offices was not a one-off. I hope that that was the beginning of a trend, but based on the elections in 2023, it certainly doesn't look that way. And I don't think we've learned our lesson yet. They think that the way to win is to be milquetoast, mealy-mouthed, middle of the road, and don't give anybody anything to be inspired about. No, I think the way to win these elections is to be, frankly, like Donald Trump. No holds barred, take no prisoners, this is who we are, this is where we stand, and give our base something to rally for. So look, in that regard, I want you all to be aware that we have just embarked on a plan. When I say we, you all know that Stan has really three aspects to it, or really four. We've got, of course, Stan, the nonprofit, a 501c3 organization. We've also got a federal super PAC, Stand America PAC, and we've got a state PAC, which is the Stand Virginia PAC, and then we've got a 501c4 Stand Action. Well, our PAC, Stand America PAC, has started a project called Save America, Elect Donald Trump. Now, you all know that I ran for president. I said I didn't run thinking that I was going to somehow overtake and overcome Donald Trump. I said, if that's the only reason for running, then you're delusional. You shouldn't be running at all. But you had, I mean, who knows? Lightning could strike, but you had to have another reason. And my reason, of course, was to call America back to our Judeo-Christian and constitutional principles, the principles I believe made America the greatest nation on earth. But now that I'm out of the race, and, of course, the primary is for all practical purposes over, no matter how delusional Nikki Haley may be, it's over. It is over. Donald Trump is going to win the nomination, and barring unforeseen circumstances, Donald Trump is going to become president of the United States again. Thank God. So we are fully supporting him, and I would encourage all of you to do the same, because I really believe that our country is hemorrhaging right now. And when you go to the emergency room hemorrhaging, you don't care about the bedside manner of the ER physician. You don't care about what he looks like, and you don't care about what his past is. You care about whether he knows how to stop the hemorrhaging, how to save your life. And I think that Donald Trump is the emergency room physician that the United States of America needs right now to stop the hemorrhaging and save this country. Now, long term, we've got bigger problems that we are confronting long term, that I don't think Donald Trump is going to be able to solve. Somebody is going to have to, all of us together are going to have to. But right now, we just got to save America from the utter destruction and onslaught that the left is pushing on the country. whether it's crime in the streets, or it's illegal immigration, or those two combined, or it's I just saw a story today about the astronomical cost of food, and it's going up. Well, they're telling us the economy is great and prices are dropping and inflation is dropping, but food prices are up and going up, which is the thing that hits middle income and poor people the hardest, because everybody's got to buy food. I mean, it is a complete mess. It is a debacle. China is now not only shipping fentanyl across the border, but Chinese nationals and Glock switches in order to, for criminals now. These are not coming over, obviously, they're coming over the black market for criminals to be able to buy them and turn their Glocks into machine guns, into automatic weapons. So China's embarked on what I really believe is an explicit plan to undermine America from within. And the Biden administration can't do anything about it because they've been bought lock, stock, and barrel by Communist China. I mean, we are in trouble, folks. We are in deep trouble. And I tell you something, if I were not a man of faith, I'd throw my hands up and say, you know, it's over. I mean, it's just a matter of when. But because I have faith in God, I believe we're going to win. I believe that because I believe that America is a providential nation, that God ultimately started, inspired it in the hearts of our founding fathers to declare independence and to write the Declaration and to establish the Constitution. And I don't believe God is going to allow us to lose this nation if we will take a stand. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and the calling of God are without revocation. America is a gift from God. He will not revoke it. The only way we can lose it is if we abdicate it. So I don't throw my hands up and say it's over. I throw my hands up in praise and say, thank God we win. So I'd like you to help us. You can go to our website, standamericapac.us, standamericapac.us. Now, that's the PAC side. You don't get a tax deduction for that. But we're looking to raise $5 million this year in order to do this effectively in five states, Pennsylvania, Virginia, of course, Virginia, North Carolina, Georgia, and Ohio. We really believe that if Trump wins those five states, given where he is otherwise, he will win the presidency again. And I think that's the likelihood anyway. We're targeting two different constituencies, evangelical voters. And, that, you know, you'd say evangelical voters are already with him. Yes, that's true. But I'll tell you, as the scandals that they have set him up in continue to unfold, there's going to be a big push. And I think it'll come later when they think it'll have the most effect to basically say to Christians, how can Christians vote for such a man? That's going to be the game. And we've got to have an answer, and I do have an answer as a pastor, as somebody who knows what the Bible says. I see that Donald Trump, excuse me, my phone is ringing for whatever reason, is just the man we need at just the moment we need him. Because, again, he is the one we need to do it, and evangelical Christians who care about this country, they call us Christian nationalists these days, have got to vote for Donald Trump. I mean, we have to. I'm going to, and I'm not apologizing for it. I believe it's exactly what the Lord would have us do. Is he perfect? Far from it. Neither am I, neither are you. The only one who was Jesus. Then black voters are moving in his direction. I'm hearing more and more rumblings about that, but we want to keep that going because, again, there's going to be a concerted effort as we get closer to label Donald Trump as a racist, and they're going to probably go over the top this time with whatever they can conjure up to prove to people that Donald Trump is a racist. Donald Trump's no more racist than I am. I believe that. Donald Trump's no more of a racist than I am, and I am not a racist. I think Donald Trump loves this country. He loves our people. He cares about our future. I don't think Donald Trump is not the person to placate others when they accuse him of things, to run around apologizing. And so that just gives them more fodder to say, see, you know, look at what he said. But that's just the way he is. He likes tweaking people. It's just the nature of his personality. But there's nothing – remember – Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson were collecting checks from Donald Trump before he began to run for president. They were running up there begging him for money, and he was giving it to them. So, I mean, give me a break. But there's got to be a concerted answer, and we want to provide that answer. So help us. If you know someone who is as concerned about the future of our country as I am in terms of the racial stoking of division and all of this stuff that the left is constantly doing. I mean, constantly beating the drum. You know, there's not almost not a day goes by that you don't have something you could point to. I mean, the whole thing with the scandal with Fannie Willis, that's supposed to be racism. But, well, everything is. So there's got to be an answer to all of that, and that's what we're doing. We are seeking to provide an answer. Okay, I'm getting a little message here. Yeah, I'm expecting a big. Never mind, folks. I'm juggling multiple balls in the air, as you can hear. But look, we're going to win this thing. Donald Trump's going to be president again. You know, set a lot of this stuff straight. And then we've got to understand we're in the middle of a cultural revolution. It's not going to stop because Donald Trump gets elected president, because they're going to continue to work in our institutions to try to move us more and more in a Marxist, socialist, collectivist, leftist direction. And we got to be prepared to fight that. And that fight is not going to recede because Donald Trump gets elected. There's going to be a big chink in their armor. It's going to make a lot of progress governmentally to stop the government from aiding and assisting in this cultural revolution. But the cultural revolution, since it's multidimensional, is going to go on. So we're going to be in this fight for a while. And we need God's intervention. We need an awakening in America. And I'm believing God for it and praying for it. And I know all of you are too. So listen, if you want to support Stand America, go to standamerica.us. If you want to support this new PAC effort we're engaged in, go to standamericapac.us, the sister organizations. The PAC has PAC before the U.S., and the nonprofit Stand America is standamerica.us. Look, folks, stay in the fight no matter what, okay? Stay in the fight. And I can tell you all, I'm certainly getting my share of slings and arrows and problems and issues and setbacks. I am undaunted. I refuse to be discouraged because I know what the outcome ultimately is going to be. We just have to hold on. Okay? Hold on. Don't back down. Don't back up. Don't give in. It's going to be all right. I'm telling you, it's going to be all right. So God bless each and every one of you. Thank you for joining with us. Stick with us. We got plenty coming down the pike that we'll be telling you about in the weeks ahead. But in the meantime, everybody stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.